It's indeed a joy to be here in Marwa. My son and sister, we go into Marwa today. So there must be something special reason why. So it's been a joy coming here before and to come again. I think the last time we were here was 2019. That's a few years ago. But we're glad to be here again, and we bring the greetings of the saints in Guyana. And we're glad to hear about Randy here, who has the name of my son.
Roland,
make me say Randy. Because I have my two sons, one is Randy and one is Roland. And this one is Randy Roland. So I get confused, you see. So I'm very thankful to the Lord to be able to come today and to see the brethren again. Some thoughts that come to mind as I heard in the worship this morning, a Sunday like this, where the Lord Jesus is precious. There is one name that he brings in from eternity into time, into resurrection, is this name of Son. And I want us to enjoy something of him in Hebrews chapter 1. This wonderful one who is the Son of God who has come. And what a thought about him. He is the Son in eternity. He is the Son in time. And he is the Son in resurrection. In Hebrews chapter 1, I read from verse 1, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Let's talk to him in prayer. Father and God, we desire help from thee. We desire help as we speak of thy Son, who is so precious to thee, and who has become so precious to us. O Father and God, we asking that thy word would affect all of us, that we might be brought closer to thee, O our God, that we might treasure thee more, value you more. O God, our God, you are so wonderful and precious. Now as we open thy word, touch our hearts, we pray. We give thanks, precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God spake in time past, in divers manners, and he spoke through the prophets, and he put them all together as prophets. But we know the Lord Jesus, that he is prophet, he is priest, and he is king. He was prophet when he was down here. He is priest now that he is there. And he is going to be king, but king priest when he comes back. So he's prophet. When he was prophet, when he was here, priest, now he's in the glories, and king when he comes back, prophet, priest, and king. Now the scripture is telling us that there was prophets that were used before, but now the Lord Jesus comes in, and they all must give way to him. He is greater than all the prophets. He is greater than all the kings. He is greater than all the priests. He is greater than the temple. He is greater than all, and we want to see him because he is a name that he is bringing from eternity. There has been something that has come from eternity into time and goes into resurrection. This name, Son. And God now speaks to us, by whom? By his Son. And when he speaks to us in the person of the Son, is that everyone else disappears. Think of all the prophets. We would see later on, he is greater than the angels. Which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? And who does he compare him to? Who does he say, thou art my son? Which one of the angels did he say that to? This day have I begotten thee. None. The only one he said that to, thou art my son, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ the Son in time. Sam 2. Psalm 2 presents him as son in time. Psalm 8, the son of man. And that's what we have here. Son of God in chapter 1. Son of man in chapter 2. What a savior. What a Lord he is. Now, we want to see how all the other prophets disappear. Because man think a lot of prophets. Oh, that. And when we talk to people today, they will say, the Lord Jesus, some men tell you that Christ is only a prophet. I want to tell you this. Nobody can know him above a prophet except by revelation. It cannot be known. So if there are those who come on and they tell you, well, he's only a prophet, I understand them because they can't get higher. They cannot know him as son except by revelation. Let us get two verses quickly, two passages quickly. Now, think of Peter. The Lord Jesus asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that thou art Elias. First, thou art Jeremiah. Thou art Elias. Thou art one of the prophets. You see, they cannot get higher than that. One of the prophets. But he turned to Peter and he said, Peter, he turned to his disciple and he said, whom do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the moment he said that, what does the Lord say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. To know him above a prophet is only by revelation. Think of the man who was healed and how fast he grew. They put him out, this blind man that the Lord had healed. They put him out. You remember what he said about the Lord. Oh, and the Pharisee said, thou art altogether born in sin and you want to teach us? Oh, and the man said, what do you say about him, they ask? He said, he's a prophet. Can't get higher. The Lord Jesus comes to this man and he says to him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? Who? Dost thou believe in the Son of God? What does he say to him? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He was standing right in front of him, but he could not know him as son. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And the Lord Jesus says to him, he that speaketh to thee am he. He is son. So that when men say that God has no son, when men say today he's only a prophet, you understand them. They can never get higher than that. But by revelation. And now God speaks to us through in the person of his son. Now he is speaking. And in the person of the son, who is this prophet? All the other prophets disappear. Now, first thing he said about him. And in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Verse 2. Whom he had appointed heir of all things. Every single man has to do with him in the future. He is appointed heir of all things, established heir, and all will have to do with him in the future. This whole world will have to do with him in the future because he is the appointed heir of all things. Every man, all of creation has to deal with him in the future because he is the heir of all. And he brings first before us the future. They all have to deal with him in the future. But then the scripture doesn't stop there. By whom also he made the world. Everything that is being in the past, he brought him into being. So the scripture now goes first into the future, then take us back into the past. He is the one who everyone and everything would have to deal with him because he is the heir. All is his in the future. But now in the past, we're realizing that by whom also he made the world. He is the one who made on behalf. When the creation, he is the one who acted for the Godhead. What a Savior. What a Lord. Now, which prophet is the heir of all things? Which prophet created the world? They're all left behind. They all are left behind. Man and his prophet left behind. He alone is the one who not only is the heir in the future, created all in the past. This name of son who he brings in. Oh, now speaks to us in the person of his son. The word of God now tell us. In verse 3. There are seven things we are going to see. In regard to the son. And what happened to the prophet? They cannot respond. They cannot respond. We will see if we continue. How he is greater than the angels. And then the scripture tell us about how great he is in regard to angels. And they can't respond. He is greater than here he is the apostle and high priest. Greater, the apostle there is Moses. Greater than Moses. In this place, there is one greater than the prophets. Now, the Bible tells us that in these last days spoken unto us by Son, that when the Son spoke, it was God who was speaking. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God will have to say that to Peter. Peter, who said before, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. He put Moses on the same level as the Lord Jesus. He put Elias on the same level. God came in and said, Hold a minute here. Hold a minute here. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. He doesn't have anything to say about Moses. He doesn't have anything to say about Elijah. Hear ye him. Oh, what a Savior. What a Lord. Hear ye him. Moses, Elias, disappear. And the scripture says, after that happened, they saw no man. They all disappear. They might be in the glory because of him. Let me tell you something. We are going to be in the glory. But the only reason we are going to be there is because of him, the Son. Not because we are worthy of being there. And now God is speaking to us by the Son. His Son who was the Son in eternity. In John 17, we have that the love that was loved me before the foundation of the world. He enjoyed that love in eternity. And then he said, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He enjoyed that. He had the glory with the Father in eternity. And he enjoyed the love in eternity. He is the Son of God in eternity. But now he has come into time. And God now speaks to him. Speak to us through him. Had in these last days spoken unto us in the person of the Son. Come in time, but now gone back up into glory in resurrection. A resurrected man. Now God speaks to us in this person. Now look and see what the scripture now declare. Who be in the outshining of his glory? Oh yes, now, not only what he created, not only his hair, but God himself. He is this outshining of God's glory. You want to see God's glory, you are going to see Christ. Let me tell you something. When we get to glory, we are not going to be into Jews. No, this is God the Father, and this is God the Holy Spirit. We are going to see Christ, because he is the outshining of God's glory. Being the outshining of his glory and the express image of his substance. Image is full representation, fully represents him. What a man. And yet, a man on earth, a man in the glories. Now, the outshining of his glory, the express image of his substance. Oh yes, he's the outshining of his glory. Yes. He has this glory. And then substance. He is God. And then the scripture now talk about something more. So we have these four glories for which the prophets cannot respond. They are not the outshining of God's glory. They are not the express image of his substance. But now he says, upholding all things by the word of his power. You imagine, man would like to talk about the laws of gravity and the laws that control the universe. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus, as Son of God, is the one who upholds the universe. Not only has he created it, he has created it and he maintains it by the word of his power. What a man. And now he is a man. He became a man. Always God, became a man. Still remain God. Forever. And he will remain man forever. Outshining of his glory. Now the express image of his substance. Now not only did he create all things. Just now we saw how he created all things. By whom God made the world. In these three chapters we have Christ as the creator. Chapter 1. You remember them? John 1. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, he is creator. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. But now, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Here, it's not said that God do it through him now. He upholds it. He not only creates it, he holds it, keeps it in being. He keeps it going. He is the one who caused the sun to go around wherever. He is the one who caused the moon to go around the earth. He is the one who caused the earth to go around the sun. Oh, what a savior. He is the one who holds it. Not only calls it into being, but he keeps it in being. What a savior who has done this. So glorious is he. In eternity, God doesn't need a place to dwell in. He exists. In John 1, when we read about him there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. What we are reading is this. In eternity, there is no place. The reference is only to divine persons. In the beginning was the Word. Christ was there. And the Word was with God. Father and the Holy Spirit were there also. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. No thing was there. He didn't need a place to exist. We can go on and develop it, but that's not where we want to go this morning. So he keeps all things going. And now the scripture says, not only uphold all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged sins. I want to read that in the New Translation. Having made by himself the purification of sins. There is a work to be done and he has done it. He makes purification of sins. And not this word here, purge our sins. Ours don't come in. It's like yesterday when we learned that he made redemption. For us, we don't come in. It's a work. Sin need to be removed, and he is the one who has removed it. And now we realize he has done a work. When he had by himself purged sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh yes, he has done a work. Now he has done a work. And now he goes up into glory and he sits down on the right hand of the majesty on high. But he goes there as a man. He always had a right to this place. As God the Son, he had a right to this place. But now he's going up there as a man. In the Psalm 45, what a thought of this wonderful one. And he goes down and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he is now, seated at God's right hand. Now tell me something about the angels. They disappear. They disappear. They can't come close. Like what we had yesterday at the conference. A new priest. We have a new offering. We have a new sacrifice. We have a new covenant. We have a new worshiper. It is all new. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Oh, when he comes in, everything else disappears. It is only what is new that comes in. All the prophets now have to give way. It is said of the arrow, they came before. But an arrow is like an outrider. When the president is coming through, the outrider goes before. And he must do two things. He must clear the way so that the president could come through. And he got to get out of the way. Not only clear the way, he got to get out of the way so that the president could come through. Oh yes, they have cleared the way. And now they got to get out of the way because who we want to see? God would say to hear him. And today we want to see him. Now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, shall taste that for everything. Oh, I want to tell you something. He has died on the cross, and our sins are gone forever. He has made purification of sins. He has established eternal redemption. Here, every sinner who comes to him, his sins can be forgiven. Because he has established this. And let me tell you this. He took your sins and mine. Now, either your sins are gone and gone forever, or how would they go away? The fact that he is at the right hand of the majesty on high means that my sins are gone and they're gone forever. Because if he took my sins and he died for my sins, if he had one sin on him, he could not be at the right hand of God. Look, Adam had one sin and God drove him out of the garden. One sin is too much. Those who want to go to heaven by them, their own work, they're going to realize one sin is too many. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All must be gone. And I tell you something, the greatness of this person and the work of this person, you see, because of who he is, his work is so precious. And the Bible is telling us now, because of his person and the work that he has accomplished, our sins are gone. Every speck has been removed. And we stand in the presence of God. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Let me tell you something. In regard to your standing, you cannot be more perfect now. You're not going to get more perfect. In regard to your practice, in regard to my practice, there's a lot to be desired. Because my practice is what I have to do. But in regard to my standing, Christ has done it all. And I stand in the presence of a wonderful God without sin. All gone. Your sins are all gone. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. The glory of his person and the perfection of his work. When he had by himself purged sins, sat down at the right hand of God. Any sin in that place was too many. God help us that we will come to appreciate him more for his name's sake. Amen.